I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Hey, what's going on? This is Rad with Soft Rep Radio, and I am super pumped today. First of all, I'm in London celebrating the Jubilee for the Queen, and I'm getting ready to go over to Normandy and try to check out Dunkirk. But my guest, let's talk about my guest, okay? I have Cameron Haynes. He has wrote the book Endure. Keep hammering away. I want to welcome you, Cameron, to Soft Rep Radio and to our listeners out there. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here. Good to meet you. I'm pumped to have a nice discussion.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let's just jump into it. So let's talk about your grandma. Okay. So I'm reading your book. Thanks for getting that over to me. And I'm a mama's boy and a grandma's boy. So tell me how much love you have for her and putting into that first backcountry book of yours where you had to repaid her. Tell me.
Yeah, no, I did. I don't know. You know how grandmas are. I mean, if you're lucky enough to have a grandma, I had two of them, actually, and they were both super supportive. One was a school teacher. The one you're referring to is my grandma, Ruby. She's the one who loaned me money for my first book, gave me $15,000.
Right.
Paid her back. But she was always, I don't know. I mean, I just would go work on the ranch over there. So my grandpa was very hard. She was always like that, supportive, but she was very tough too. She's part Indian. Just hardworking Oklahoma ranch person that moved to Oregon. And so she was supportive, always loved me, always supported me, but still tough in her own right.
I love that you call her out in that, and that you said that you paid back family. And it's kind of a thing where family's like, hey, can you loan me? It's like, yeah, where's that back? And you did that. But I think that when you start to hit on your book has a couple different titles to me. May I? Endure is what you chose, and I love that. But I also think Passion would be a good novel or a name for your book. Also, Solitude would be a good name for your book. But Endure, you have to endure, you know, all this passion inside yourself to put it out there. And, you know, you put it into writing at a young age. You talk about that. And then you brought it into these books where you're talking. You're like, hey, I'm not telling you really. I don't want to tell you all about the book. I want you to go buy the book and check it out. Right. Because I could sit here and just spit all of it back at you. But, you know, to tease my listener, you know, you're like, I'm not telling you what to do.
Right.
But yet, you know, and I love that point of view.
Yeah, that's been my whole thing. Still, even today, I still struggle with, you know, feeling worthy, feeling I do get a lot of attention now. And this book is actually, I didn't really even know if it was going to be good. I actually was reading this book, like doing the audio. I'm not an audio guy. This is what you do. So, I mean, you're great at it. But I hate being on podcasts. I like hosting a podcast like what you're doing, because if I'm expected to be the interesting person, I'm like, oh boy, I just don't like it. I like talking to interesting people. But the point is, it's like, so I was doing the audio for this book and I was reading and I was like, is this book even good? I mean, of course, everybody thinks that their story is interesting, right? I mean, everybody's like, has this big, whatever, I came from this, I overcame that. And everybody's got these, why they're special. Everybody thinks they're special. And I'm like, is that me now? I think that people are going to care. Why would people care about what I've done? So I've struggled with just wondering whether I've done anything noteworthy, because, you know, I've trained with like a Goggins or Olympians or these UFC fighters. And I'm like, well, that's very measurable. You went to the Olympics, you are a special human, right? I've never done anything. So I trained with them. I haven't done that. So, but the point, I think what I'm seeing now with the reviews on the book and all the messages from people is like, it's given the average person, which that's what I say I am, hope that they can maybe achieve something special. Maybe all hope isn't lost. And because they're not seeing themselves on TV, or maybe they're not going to the Olympics, or maybe they're not, that still doesn't mean that if year after year, decade after decade, just putting in work, you can't have success and stand out in your own way. And so that's the moral to the story, really.
Yeah. And it's true, you know, and I tell people on my side as an entrepreneur, I own a couple businesses here in Salt Lake City and I'm doing okay. And, you know, it's like, you know, if you're passionate about it, you should follow that. Right. So whatever you love so much, that's what I invest in stock wise. So if I love to eat, you know, certain potato chips, I'm going to invest in that company. If I love to play a certain video game, I invest in that company. If I like that, I'll invest in it. If there's a gym that I want to invest in, that's how it is. So it's like, if you're passionate about it and you believe in it and it's not, I mean, I don't know how you're going to let it fail if it's all you, you know?
Yeah, that's also the thing. So I took something bow hunting, which bow, you know, why would a bow hunter ever be celebrated, you know? But where I was from in this small town, it's like hunters were like, they were kind of respected, looked up to, you know, you know, did you go get your buck this year and you got meat in the freezer and hey, you got any steaks you could spare us? And so that was like, hunters were respected, but in the grand scheme of things, because hunting and our culture is changing so much, it's like, it seems crazy to take something as niche or as unique as bow hunting, and that's what I'm getting attention for. I mean, people, some of the biggest athletes in the world are sending me messages saying that their book impacted them. I'm like, a bow hunter. So that's the moral. I mean, that's the, what you're kind of saying is like, you follow your passion and your passion can lead you to who knows where, you know, I mean,
other people's passion.
Yeah. If it's in your heart, it's, and I think I've noticed that with people, that draws me to people. If you see somebody's passionate about something, it makes you interested in it. Right.
Right.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
It's true. It's 100%. It's like, oh, wow, you do this. You're so into this. Tell me a little bit more about it. And chances are that person will, you know, that's what I've learned is that if I just say, hey, tell me about your business. It's like, well, Rad, my accountant the other day, just like totally just didn't do the numbers right. And I'm just like, all right, business analysis. I don't know if I'm ready for that today, but really, really, you know, and something else. So growing up, so my father was a Green Beret.
Okay.
And growing up in the 80s. The number one compound bow hunter in my life was Rambo.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's the twisting of it. It's the latching it up in the, it's the pulling it back and drawing it, you know, and the arrow tip, everything. He just, you know, the ultimate hunter right there.
Right.
And my dad got a compound bow. He was always into recurves, right? And if you don't know what a recurve is, listener, a recurve is where you have to, like, it's kind of like your archers on the ramparts of a castle where they shoot off of it. That's a recurve bow. One string, you have to kind of bend it in a funky way to put it on and leash it. And then a compound bow has multiple strings, some bearings, and a pulley system. And so I think my dad always had it like at 75 to 90 pounds. And I was little, he's like, go ahead and try. And I'd sit there and I'd try to pull and I couldn't. And he'd pull it and then it'd go right back.
Yeah.
He's like, what's your problem? So I finally got it to pull back, and then I let it go. And he's like, you never do that.
Ever that's again. Dry fire.
Yes.
On a dry fire, yeah.
I didn't know. I'm just saying, learning my lessons, right?
Yeah.
So then we wake up, and it's 5 in the morning. He's like, let's go. And he takes me out to these ponds in Kaysville, Utah, and there's three ponds. And he's now got a reel on his bow, on his compound.
Okay.
And he's hammering at carp.
Yeah.
And he's got this. It just goes right through, and it prongs open, and it pulls them right to him. So in the 80s and 90s, that's my life, bro. And so when you're sitting here saying you're going out bow hunting, I know a guy that bow hunted, so I get you.
There you go. We used to go carp fishing all the time, me and my buddy Roy. And back in Oregon, there's a lot of black bear, but they outlawed baiting for black bear in 94. Before that, though, we'd go and we'd get these carp. And then we'd use those for bear bait. But we used to go out and love just wading out through the water and you'd see the carp. They'd be spawning. So you'd see them in the grass and the grass would be all rustling around. And you'd like read the water where the fish was, hit it. Sure. And we'd use that for bear bait. So I've done some carp bow hunting myself, bow fishing.
You know, early in the morning, my dad would either be out running a marathon, you know, down in St. George or training to run with a rucksack 6 to 8 miles with like 60, 80 pounds in the back of it up and down the streets and stuff. So, and I would just ride my bike with him, you know, so I've really seen these guys with that extreme athleticism like yourself, right? Okay, you are an extreme athlete. Whether that gold medal hangs around your neck, it is there, right? So you're putting yourself through these paces, maybe to make up for it. And your book really pulls you through solitude, because as you're growing up, you know, you're going through some difficulties in your family. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let you know that I did read it, you know, and I really do think that, you know, you going off to your grandma's house, you know, 20 miles away, and just, you know, y'all read the book. You guys have to read this book. Okay. Cause you're just going to feel it. You're just going to read it and you're going to enjoy it. And it's good. So I have a hard time reading a lot of books. I'm not the biggest. Yeah. I talk a lot.
Well, you can do the audiobook.
I do that. As a matter of fact, I do that pretty well. I just think that you wrote a really well written book that talked to me. Okay.
And thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, with my grandma too, and doing all that, it's like, so that was part, most of my life. And I, you know, kind of the message in the book is that there's a saying, born to lose, built to win. And I was like, I felt born to lose, but I definitely didn't feel built to win for many years. And then all of a sudden I was thinking, well, maybe all this struggle and all this heartache and, you know, not feeling like I belong, maybe this has built me to win. And so maybe it's given me that edge. And I talk about that in the book too. It's like, you know, my mom could read that book and think that, God, what
did you do?
She failed because I was so unhappy, right? And like, worst parents, and, you know, didn't like the stepdad, just wanted to try to fit in somewhere. And she could feel like she failed. And I had to reassure her that, no, I mean, because I went through that, that's why I'm who I am. And I wouldn't want to change anything. But it's like, there's times when you're going through life and you're like, I just, you know, this life is going to beat me. It's going to beat me down and I can't take it anymore. And that's what it felt like for a long time. And then once I changed that, my mindset, and it's just like, this doesn't have to define me. And then it's all about overcoming. Then it's all about seeking out challenge. Instead of saying, this is beating me down and this is going to break me, it's like, no, I want to seek out that challenge. So that's what the second half of my life has been about, is seeking out, like your dad. I mean, I'm actually fascinated about your dad.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
dude. Green Beret, dude. That's freaking hardcore. Your dad is a badass.
He was. And I have that to live up to on my own lineage, right? Like my own legacy to leave out there. And so he knows what I'm doing, because before he passed away, he got to see me grow into who I am pretty much today. And so I'm pretty proud to see, my dad knows I'm doing the right thing and carrying on his last name.
He passed away
2013, Friday the 13th, September. Man. Yeah, it's tough. Right before my birthday, I was turning I'm 44 now, so it's been a minute. But Green Beret, 63, heart condition, you know, you give yourself, you give the military a healthy, able body. They put you through checks and tests, and he got lots of training and investment put into him. And then you just drop a couple guys wrong on a night drop or on an airborne jump, and they all get jacked up. And then all of a sudden they try to recover from that. And it's kind of a downhill process. And
so,
you know, the military can spit you up real quick. And so that was something I wanted to mention to you is, do you do anything with like these vets that are coming out, you know, and they want to go out and bow hunt, you know, is there any type of place where you're getting pulled into that these days? Cause I think that that would be a really cool thing if you're not already doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously David Goggins is a vet. My son's actually in the military right now. And I was just talking to him right before I got on with you. And I said, I had to get off and do this, but
thank you.
Yeah. He's a Ranger in the Army right now. So, I mean, I have, you know, I did Jocko's podcast. I mean, I feel like I've done the Black Rifle podcast. When I talk to those guys too,
I own their stock, by the way.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. You and Joe Rogan.
Hey, I'm just telling you, bro. Yeah.
The stock market's taking a hit lately.
I don't even want to.
I know, but it's a long game, right?
Yes, exactly. It's a surfing wave, bro. I just ride it. That's it.
So I don't feel even worthy when I'm in talking to veterans, people who have served the country, because not only they're beasts, but they actually signed their name on the line and said, serving my country is more important than whatever goals I have, you know? And it's like, my son, from everybody else to your dad, it's like, I can't even talk about how much respect I have for that commitment and that just honoring our country. And that's why our country is as strong as it is, because of men like that.
well, it's the volunteer military that makes us the best. You know, we have, because they want to be there. They choose to be there. They say, I will be here and I will do this and I understand why. Mm-hmm. And so that is better than some type of forced situation where, you know, you hear this on the streets, like, oh, we should have a forced military. I'm like, nah, you know, I'd rather have the guys want to be there than not want to be there.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that one?
You're right. The military is coming out as a big transition for people who served.
Yes.
I mean, they're living at the pinnacle, right? I mean, I can imagine anytime you do something exciting, even coming back from wherever to regular life is a transition. So imagine being at the pinnacle of military service and then having to transition back to a regular job and regular life. Of course, that'd be hard, but bow hunting has given guys like that an outlet to channel their focus, and it has been great. And I've shared plenty of camps with military veterans, and you know, love just communicating with them on social media has been a great avenue for that. So yeah, I'm a big proponent of helping those guys when I can.
That's awesome. You know, I think that some of us out here started shooting arrows, at least myself, you know, in Boy Scouts. And so, you know, as my father, he kind of said, you're going to get into Scouts. And I followed that step and went through. And then every Saturday morning, he would send me up to the park, 8 a.m. I was like, it's so early, Dad, the sun's coming up. He's like, go. And it was to practice with this guy that was teaching me how to do archery all the time.
Oh,
yeah. And so I had to go to my archery lessons. And so he really was a big believer. So I didn't really think, okay, I was like, okay, I get this book. It's called Endure, you know? And I'm like, all right, let's see what this Endure is. And I start reading and I'm like, oh, compound bow. All right, stop shooting a rifle. Okay. So another thing my dad has a trick was he'd go hunting with a Mauser back in the day. And he only went one time because he got the deer, but we didn't really eat it. Oh. And he said, you know, he's like, you know, son, if you guys aren't going to really eat this deer, I don't really want to take the deer.
Right.
And I said, okay, Dad. And, but we'd go out on hunts and he would sit me out. I'd be a spotter. And he'd kind of fall asleep. He's like, now just scan. And if you see anything move, you just nudge me. But he always bring two bullets. That's all he would bring is two rounds. Yeah, one for the first shot. Because if he missed, he figured he'd scared everything.
Right.
A second one for the way back to the truck. So if he saw one on the way back, then he would pop it. So he'd only take two rounds with his 8mm, 7mm Mauser, German Mauser.
Yeah.
The scope must have been, now that I think about it, with today's modern scopes, you know, it's just so crazy.
Well, it's still the hunt, you know. I mean, even though compound bows have changed a lot, it's still pretty much a close range endeavor. I mean, so I still want to get 40 yards, even though the equipment has got so much better, and I don't rifle hunt, but I know rifles have improved in accuracy and everything.
Oh, to the point of like, you're so far away. It's like, what you're doing is like the whites of their eyes, you know, you're like right in there and you got the scent on you. You don't want to smell like anything other than
closer the tree. You get, the better.
Yeah.
And that's actually the challenge, because, you know, animals are very good at staying alive.
They're right.
That's their focus every day of the year. So when you're trying to get out there and get within their red zone, it's a big challenge. But you know, where you grew up, that is a big hunting state. I mean, Utah.
Yes. Yeah, Utah.
A great state for hunters. I mean,
all the kids would always be out of school.
Yeah. They used to do that back in the day. Yeah.
Every October.
Yeah, I know. That's changed too, but that's exactly how I grew up too. It was a small logging community here. And, you know, it's like that week of opening, right after opening weekend, it's like football practice was, you know, pretty
thick. The next thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. 'Cause everybody was, you know, gone hunting with their family. But anyway, it's, hunting is definitely started there. And now, like I said, just from social media, for example, the craziest request I had for wild game meat, which that's kind of a thing now. It's like, you know, people are thinking about, wait, how is this meat, you know, like cow-raised and farmed and everything else. So anyway, it was funny. Lionel Richie's son, which I would never expect this, Miles Richie, I sent him some elk and bear meat because he was like, hey, he goes, I follow you. I've been this and that. This is like the most random connection. And I said, you follow me? I said, okay, you want to try some elk meat? Because as a hunter, to me, that's a big thing. And I talk about that in the book too, is I feel like hunters are providers. So I'm like, you know, that this is our community now. Social media is the community. If I can be a hunter and I have some meat, I'm going to share it. And so he loved it.
Sure.
It feels so good as a hunter to be able to provide to others.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
You know, and that's another thing about, you know, providing food. And, you know, I was wondering about that. Because like I said, we didn't really go after that first deer my dad got as young kids. And he tried to make a goose happen as well. And we didn't really, because it was our own goose. I was mad when he cut that. I wasn't there. My mom took me out to the store and she didn't know he was going to do it. And he just like did his thing to the goose.
Yeah.
She was so mad, dude. My mom was the maddest I'd ever seen her. She was not very mad at all.
Well, and Your dad was trying to form that connection between food and providing and animals die for us to survive. I can see he was trying to do that.
Yes. And he was. And, you know, and he did later on in life, he went through a couple bouts of like going vegan, not going vegan, you know, not Diet Coke, Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Stop drinking Diet Coke, anybody. Please just stop drinking that stuff, okay? Just stop putting poison in your body. Water, H2O, right. Quality, please, please, please.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking from my dad's perspective here, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, he tried all those things. And I think what he put into me was an understanding of where food comes from, where your electricity comes from, what this roof costed to put over your head, you know, how to be an entrepreneur, how to not waste, right? He didn't want to shoot something if we were going to waste it. And so he made that very clear to us. And so I really loved your book, and it really has maybe keep hammering. You talk about that in there, right? You're like, what? It's just like hammer away, you know? It's just like, keep hammering. I'm over here in London, and all these things that are chiseled, they're all hammered away at, bro. They're not just like, no one just poofed those up 3,000 years ago.
So much history over there. Yeah. And no, it's hard work is definitely the key to whatever success we have in life. It's going to take hard work. I did want to go back to the food and the connection. And, you know, one thing that I've read is that Americans throw away 40% of what they buy food-wise, including meat, 40%. So it's just like, we've had it so good here. We have, you know, this is, if you go to another country, I mean, maybe not London, but like I've been hunting in Africa multiple times, and they'll say, they're like, hey, so life's good in America. And I'm like, I mean, yeah. We just take for granted how good
for sure.
To them, America's like the promised land. And here yes. we are. We have so much. We're throwing away 40% of that. So when I think of an animal's dying, like if we're buying steaks and like I see people eat half the steak and it's like
right.
throw away the rest of it. It's once you have that connection and you and like your dad was trying to get to you guys is mm-hmm. that there's perspective. Let's have perspective on what's at stake here and our role in it. And it's just like as hunters, I know hunters, they don't, you know, you're taught you I take the skin off, I get the hide tanned, I keep the antlers so I have antlers right up here in this room. And that, you know, the memories of that hunt and that animal is honored right mm-hmm. there. I have sure. the meat, of course, is cherished. I love giving it out, but it's not definitely not going into the garbage. So if nothing no. else, hunters are taught to value that animal's life, not just the memories of it, but also what it's yielding to us with its flesh, which is meat. And it's like, I like the hunting aspect and just the what that's taught me, because maybe without hunting, maybe I would be the guy scraping off meat and throwing it away, you know?
Right. And you know, the other thing is like, what makes you buy what's in a store? You know, when you go to the grocery store and you look at all the food that they've been putting in your face for all these years, it's like, where'd the deal get made to buy that? Where did yeah. the store go to Las Vegas and go to a trade show and meet some guy at some club and do a deal in the back room about your meat? Okay. And so all of a sudden here it is right there. And it is a big thing to know, you know, farm to table. Okay. Yeah. Whether you're vegetarian or you're going to eat straight up all the meat, you want to know where it's coming from into yeah. your body, you yeah. know? And in Alaska, they believe that the spirit of the animal when it's hunted, and I kind of I follow this. Okay. And yeah. so I, you know, if I had to eat a lot of mammal, I would in this way, which is I would hunt it. And then once I got it, I would clean it, take it and put it back to where I had killed it so it can continue on with its journey. I yeah. do like that mentality up there with yeah. that culture of the indigenous people of Alaska. I don't know. You've been up there. Is that something that you found up there?
They're definitely connected, more connected because it's more wild for sure. I mean, people of Alaska are tough people. They're hardy people just because it's harder living. You know, I mean, I went and stayed in San Diego when I did Jocko's podcast. I was thinking, God, if I lived down here, I'd be so soft and so nice every day. It's like sunny and just so comfortable. So, you know, I think we gain as humans by being in a challenging environment because it right. does make us tougher. And so one thing I've noticed, I've done seminars up in Alaska and I'm looking out there talking about bow hunting and I'm like, how am I telling you guys survive up in these elements? You should be telling me how to do it. But right. One thing, I mean, I do like that connection because I think what people who don't hunt, and I'm not saying everybody has to hunt. And I think how you've kind of connected the dots on, you follow like the people of Alaska, how they honor the animal and the journey of the animal.
Correct.
But I think as hunters, whether you hunt or you don't hunt, whether you're vegan or non or vegetarian, whatever. But like for me, I just want it to be known that as a hunter, which I've hunted my whole life, I don't actually enjoy the killing aspect of what I do. That I feel like that animal has sacrificed itself, and I'm mm-hmm. going to respect that. But I don't put an arrow through an animal, and I'm not just like smiling and laughing. There's a life at stake. That animal offered its life. I took
You're
it.
You're grateful.
But I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just like I'm not. I have so much respect, and it's like a bittersweet, somber moment for me too, because I love animals. It's like, I love nature. I love knowing that we're part of it. But mm-hmm. the killing part is just part of what hunters do as part of the journey. And
correct.
The journey made me think of this. It's like, yeah, killing is a necessary part of being a hunter, but it's not the only part. There's so much more to it, but that's the part. It's not the most enjoyable part for me, but it has to happen because if I need to get that meat out to people, they're not.
You gotta be a surgeon. You're like carving it up. You're like, okay, this is the quarter hind. This is the chuck. This is the round.
And like,
you gotta know quick too. You gotta clean it in the field.
Right. When you hit an animal with an arrow, I have to go up and read the blood and see what kind of blood it is to see my arrow, where it hit. Did it hit lungs? Did it hit liver? Did it hit stomach? Did it just graze muscle? So you're almost a biologist in some ways, mm-hmm. and you're kind of reading this. And it just makes you so much more in tune. And then just by proxy, you're going to have respect for how that animal lives and what it survived. And then when you go, and like I said, I don't expect everybody to hunt, I'll do the killing for you, but just respect what it took to make that happen.
Here's 100%.
Enjoy the steak, but just know that there was a sacrifice made for this to happen. And I think we don't always get that when you go to the store and just buy a cellophane wrap steak. You know what I mean?
You're correct. 100%. And that's exactly my point about what you're putting into you is, you know, who told you to put that? Like, who's the guy that made the deal? Right. I've been to trade shows in my own industry, and I know how deals are made. And so it's only no different in the food industry. It's like, hey, Bill, you want to go on a cruise? Buy all the steak for me and put it in your store, and I'll get you on the cruise. I get it. So it's like what you're doing, harvesting, okay, something so, you know, and I'm only being so sensitive because, you know, I'm a mammalarian. I really don't eat mammals myself, but if I had to, I would. So I guess I'm a trietarian. I'll try to do whatever I need to live, okay, if I have to. But if I'm at a store, I necessarily don't have to buy what they're forcing me to buy. I can eat what I want. You know, and so if I'm out in the woods and I lived in Alaska, guess what I'd probably be doing? I'd probably be going after the things that made me eat. Okay. So that's me kind of like in a nutshell. And I love what you do because you're processing it. You know, I don't see any type of like, you know, organization being upset at this. It's a hunt. It's a harvest. You're taking the animal, you're eating it. It's not a bad thing. It's just not. And living in Utah, I've just become acclimated to that too. So,
yeah. And I think it's part of it too. I mean, we're talking about Alaska a lot, but it's like when you have to survive, like I said, I mentioned that the elements are more challenging up there, but when it's like, you get down to it and like, what does it take for us to survive? Well, when it's harder, you're going to need denser food. You're going to need more protein nutrient food. So if you're, like I said, living in San Diego, going to the beach every day, you could probably get by on salads. I mean, that's all there. You could have nuts, salads. You're not
surviving. It's all made for you.
Surviving a winter in Alaska. If you're surviving a winter in Alaska, you better have some good steak. You better have some salmon you're going to catch out there. And so that's I think that kind of influences, you know, what are we subjecting ourselves to in life? You know what I mean? And it's like, we're lucky where we have choices, where you can go to the store and you can say, yeah, I don't need that. I want this. I want that. That's great. That's great. I love that we have those options. Some people, like in Alaska, they're going to have to do whatever it takes.
And exactly.
They're going to kill the caribou and it's going to fill their freezer. And that's just the way it goes.
It's going to fill their freezer and probably their neighbor's freezer. Those are village kills. Those are like, they're happy to have that because they will turn everything from that kill and what they don't like into something usable, and what they don't, I think they just put it back on the trail kind of in the area that they had took the kill so that it can continue on to its journey, you know, to be brought back into another life if they will believe in that aspect, you know?
Yeah. And so we killed this buffalo in Tanzania, and it's like, you look at the birds there. And then I would say so clean the animal, got the meat off. Then there's some bones, there's some, maybe some, the guts and things like that. Those were gone in a half hour. So you talk about, it's like circle life, the 100%. Birds, the scavengers, there was nothing left in a half hour. So it's like in the wild, there's no waste. There's no waste going on at all.
Exactly. And so that's kind of like a cool, you know, connecting way to gather your food, right? I'm all about that. And so I think that's really cool. And you do talk about that in your book, even though you say you don't talk about that in your book, you talk about that a little bit in your
book. I may have touched on it. Yeah. It's a big part of what I do, and I'm passionate about it. I mean, and I understand, I put my life out there, so I'm going to get people who don't understand. I mean, people who, like you, haven't grown up in Utah, maybe they've been in cities their whole life, they're not going to understand. You know, as in a hunter, sometimes we take photos. So we achieve this long earned goal. We've been maybe dreaming about this hunt forever. It's a big challenge. We accomplished it. So you take a picture of the animal. For non-hunters or people who haven't grown up hunting, they're not going to understand a picture with a hunter smiling with the dead animal. They're like, what? This doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. To hunters who've been doing this their whole life, oh, it makes perfect sense. It's like, that was very hard to accomplish that. That's, he's happy because he can take meat back to his family and his friends. And so this is, it's like the summit of a mountain type thing, but to people who don't get it. So I understand, and I get, because I put my life out there, I get people who attack me online for, you know, I mean, for killing animals, basically, and threats and vile language. And I understand. I mean, I get it, because it's like when you just get a snapshot of what I do. But I think if you look at
right.
the future, and maybe I can't expect everybody to read my book, but maybe listen to this discussion.
Maybe. I think that me and you.
Maybe it'll make more sense.
Maybe, because they'll understand that, hey, you know, Rad's saying, like, it's a rite of, like, gathering. It's hunting and gathering. You have to do this. You're not running a butcher facility, like, with 1,000 cows coming in and out of it. You're not just doing that to these, any other, you're, yeah, if, I would love to have that conversation with anybody in any of these organizations, you know, yeah. It's true. It's like, you know, come at me, yeah. You know, we all hunter gather.
Rogan's done a good job of explaining that too, because his audience is so diverse. And so he's been good with that. And we're making a little headway, but still, I do understand why it's hard for some people to get, you know, who haven't been around it.
Hi, folks. This is Sean Spoons, Editor-in-Chief of SoftRep.com. Just here to say thank you for listening to the SoftRep Radio podcast. We sure appreciate you giving us your time. And here's a special offer for you if you're a new member. 50% off your annual membership to SoftRep. Just click the link at the bottom of the page that brought you to us today. And from all of us here at SoftRep, thank you for listening.
Well, you and me, we do get along. We grew up a lot of the same era. And, you know, I eat one way, you eat another way, but I have no ill will or ill anything about how you hunt and gather, because you don't have any problem with how I hunt and gather and what I do, which is what you say. Don't tell me what to do. I don't tell you what to do. So don't tell me what to do. So you want to come on my page and tell me what to do when I'm not going on your page? You know.
I got respect. I mean, you've talked to me about your thought process with the foods you eat and how you survive this life. And it's like, I got nothing but respect for that. I don't expect you to go hunting. It's fine. It's like, I can respect what you do and it's great. I want you to be happy. You want me to be happy?
Exactly. I don't mind hunting something with a heartbeat. I just prefer them to be, you know, like 6 foot tall, 2 legs and 2 arms, you know, running around in a war game scenario. So I don't mind hunting heartbeats, you know, a little chess is always good for me. And I do that very well here in Utah. So, you know, maybe I get my hunting out in that aspect, because I do a lot of war games, so many, you know, and these guys are like you and Rogan and Brandon Webb and all these guys get together with combat gear and we fight each other. It's like, oh, you think you're cool? That's my dojo.
That's awesome.
Right? So go ahead.
What are you doing over there? You said you might go to Normandy too.
Yeah, I'm contemplating coming here till the 10th of June. And so, you know, D-Day was June 6th. So I might catch the Eurostar that goes under the English Channel and go over to Dunkirk. If I can't make it to Dunkirk, because I'm working with SoftRep while I'm over here, you know, my posse and as an ambassador, I might go to the cliffs of Dover and then report about, you know, how May 27th, Churchill scrambled all of the people, civilians, and basically ordered them to get all of their boats, fishermen boats, and take 800 to 900 boats across the English Channel to Dunkirk to rescue 300,000 of their army personnel who were trapped being pushed into the ocean by Hitler and Mussolini. Right? Okay. So I'd be like, what the hell? Who are they hunting? And so you got all these 300,000 troops, and then they only had a 4,000 cash saved. And Winston Churchill's like, we only have 4,000 military personnel in the UK at all, because they had the whole army over in France trapped. Right. So you probably know. And it's Dunkirk. And so there was a movie about it with Harry Styles.
Yeah.
I love that. Gotta love Harry. And then especially in London. And then again, though, I'm going to go over there. I got my GoPro and get some clean steady cam footage and throw some stuff up on SoftRep and, you know, let others see what the area is like, you know, just kind of that thing. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah. And
I love that history. I mean, I've just been watching. I mean, history, it's like, I think, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention in high school, but it's just like, I've lost so much, or I mean, I'm learning so much lately. And I think maybe from experiences like what you're going to show, I've been watching, there's this series about the Civil War. Just, I don't know. History is, I don't know. I feel like we need to celebrate it more and not celebrate it, but just give it the exposure it deserves. You know, I mean, it's these men and women sacrifice so much, and it's why we're here we got to shine the light on it.
Seriously, you know, there's an author that's traveling. I think Jack Carr's traveling over right now with like a whole group, you know, of World War II veterans, bro. You know, I'm over here with my wife.
I know. He said, I sent him a message the other day because his book came out.
Yes.
It's a fiction book, but it was number one. And so on Wednesdays when the New York Times list comes out. So I texted him, I said, hey, are you still number one? He said he was on Wednesday on a plane taking 30 guys back over there.
That's right.
With his daughter was going. And just an amazing, I mean.
Well, big shout out to those guys, you know, getting the experience. Oh,
I know. And probably for the last time, really.
You know, 100%. You know, they've
been in the game for so long.
You know, I just talked to this 100-year-old veteran the other day on a podcast, Lucky, and his name's Lucky, and he goes by Damn Lucky's his book, and 100-year-old bomber pilot, dude, 25 missions over France, Germany, 100-year-old. I was like, Rat, we have him available. The soonest is this, I was like, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
10 a.m. What's the first day? 10 a.m. Yeah. I'll take it. And so, and also thanks to you for working around with all my schedule. And I know you're super slammed and busy getting pulled into lots of serious podcasts, dude. And thanks for taking the time to be on mine. Really stoked about that. Oh, so
I felt bad because I was like, the whole book thing came out and then I was just doing all these podcasts, but then I was back to my 9 to 5. And so saying, oh, can you do this and that? And I'm like, well, I'm at work all day. I'm Monday through Friday from 7 to 5. I'm, you know, 10 hours I'm at work.
Are you still at the power company?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
I love that.
So I've been back at work. So they say, well, how about Saturday evening? So here we are Saturday evening. I'm not sure when it is over there, but
I don't even know. So we can be here together.
Thank you for being flexible with me. And it's just like, had to work around that 9 to 5, but I don't know. It's been a great discussion. I thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You know, and I'm as flexible as my snowboard. Okay. When I'm hitting the snow. So again, adversity, putting yourself out there, staying in the elements, being in 60-mile-an-hour gale winds on top of a mountain, blowing snow in my face, growing my beard so it gets thicker up there. You know, it's those types of adversities, hunting my friends with their heartbeats while they're hunting me. I don't win all the time. I get shot just as much, you know? So it's like this, what can I do better? How do I not get, cardio.
There you go. Yeah.
It's cardio.
Isn't it?
Zombies, cardio. Hunting other people, cardio. Going after that deer on that long hunt. So my dad was always I don't want a four-wheeler. He's like, no. He's like, that's not hunting. He's like, he's like, so then he got out of rifle hunting and he got into bow, like I was telling you, just to revert that back. And he started taking his compound out, but he had these tips. And one time I touched it and I was just bleeding, bro. It was so sharp. Yeah. These tri-tips, he kept them in a special case, but I had to see him.
Oh, I understand. like with an arrow, that's the big difference between an arrow and a bullet, where an arrow will kill by hemorrhage. So that's what happens oftentimes is, like, if I'm hunting a big bull elk, I'll make a perfect shot. The arrow will go through the elk, 800-pound animal. They're used to getting jabbed and by antlers and fighting and all this. Sometimes they don't know what happened. They're bleeding. Their blood pressure drops, and essentially they pass out, but then they die from blood loss. Whereas they never even really knew what happened. Whereas a rifle, it's a loud report. It's a bullet will kill by shock and damage. And so definitely know they've been shot. That's where I think almost a perfect shot with an arrow is almost a beautiful death, because the animal doesn't even know what happens. And there's no animals making it out alive, right? Everything's dying. Everything, it's either going to be starving or by a predator or by fighting another animal. So, to me, taking an old bull that's lived 10 years in the mountains and it's served its purpose for the herd. And then if I offer a perfect shot like that, and it's essentially a painless death, that's as good as it gets. Where that's the big difference with the rifle. With the rifle, it kills from damage, shock.
You might even ruin the meat with the round, you know?
Ruin some of it with the bullet.
For sure. Especially if you're a bad shot.
I did. When you were talking about cardio earlier, I mean, and all those challenges, and, you know, there's that saying where fatigue makes cowards of us all.
Yes. You know,
I mean, you can be the biggest badass ever, but when people get fatigued, it's just like, take me. I'm done. You know?
I'll tell you right now, the one thing that I told my wife while we've been in London, we've probably done about, yesterday we did about 32 kilometers, and then today we did about, that's about 22 miles yesterday. We walked all over, right? We didn't realize what we were doing. And then, I got a blister on my pinky toe, and I got that back in New York too. We walked a lot, okay?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's not going to kill me. It's like, I told my wife,
blister, right?
I told her that. She looked at me. My wife's like, yeah, you're right. And she don't know where I got that from.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, she thought it was a great saying you came up with.
Yeah. But, thank you.
But it's true. It's like,
true.
We focus on, and that's what I've noticed a lot of times on these hunts. It's like, it's not the blister, but it's like a lot of little things stack up. And then you're like, that's when you want to throw in the towel. But just focus on what the one thing, like the blister, it's like, I'm pretty sure people have overcome much greater things than this, including you, right?
But
that's a lot of, you guys are taking a lot of steps and seeing some great country, I'm sure.
We are. And the thing is that, I got the blisters yesterday, and then again, we went out today and we just humped it again. And we were just like, again, I just said, no one's died of a blister. And and my wife's hardcore. She's like, I'm built for walking. And I was like, oh shit. Here we go. She's doing good. She's doing good. She felt a little bit on her knee at the end of it. And I said, well, that's because we're getting tired at the end of our trek. And we start to walk with a weird gait. And we're starting to like slug ourselves back to our hotel. And then that's the injuries. And so today was a little bit of an Uber day. And so, it worked out. Yeah, we got to see Princess Diana's fountain and the Kensington Palace. I kissed her in the King's Palace. So it was very, it's really cool.
I love it. She was a legend.
She is. And it's awesome to know all of her kids are here right now, too. And there's a lot of vibe going on. You know, everybody's here and it's a big pageantry and the queen's still alive. So that's a cool thing.
Isn't she? She's not going to be part of it or what?
She didn't get to go. She didn't go to the festivities, but she's been watching and, they're just cheering her for her 70th year of reigning and trying to keep the crown, respected. And where there's also the other side here. Let's bring that up real quick, where they're like, hey, you guys are taking our taxpayers' money and you're giving it away to people that we don't approve of to cover up these dealings. And so, there is that aspect, but I think the aristocrat and most of the Brits over here are proud to be British right now. And I'm so stoked to be over here. And it's very almost America.
I mean, just the history part of it, it'd be just to be part of it. I've never been there before, so I'm jealous that you're able to experience it. It's history,
It is. It is in the making, and you should come over. It's not so bad as you would think, and it's just a quick 9-hour straight flight. So, you might get a little business class out of it from someone, so you might want to put that in.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Let me ask you a question. So I put questions out on my social media and just kind of wind down our conversation here. And one of my guys, Anton, he asked me, he said, okay, well, I'm stoked you're doing this show with you. And he says, do you use any supplements to help you move out and keep going with endurance? You know, is there anything that you use, you know?
Mostly I wild game meat for the most part. And it's okay. Just like what I say in the book is like your body gets used to what you ask of it. So I've been doing this for so long, my body is pretty good. I mean, but I don't drink. I eat wild game meat all the time. I watch my sugar intake and do all that. And then I do supplement. There's a company in Utah there, Mountain Ops. My son works for them. They're a supplement company. So I do supplement with protein and BCAAs to replenish after like a long run when I've went through a lot of, you know, sweated a lot and things like that to try to replenish that. But for the most part, it's just living clean. And then 30 years of doing it, my body is kind of like shoe leather tough. That's my body.
Right. Yeah. You just trained yourself to endure that. It's so true.
That's it. It's just time in the saddle essentially. But yeah, I try to live a pretty clean life though.
Let me see. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Anton. James has a question. Let me see what it says here. It says, James says, let's see, how much sleep does he get? That's the question. That's you. Yeah, so,
I understand.
Yeah, tell it. Yeah. 3 a.m., dude, you're up.
I don't get much because I have a full-time job to train for endurance events. Takes hours, you know? So, I mean, and then I have a family. Like right now, we're watching The Last Dance, watching Michael Jordan's story again. My daughter hadn't seen that. So I do want to spend time with them. So if I have to give up anything, it's where it's impacting my family as little as possible, impacting my work, it's I'm going to give up sleep because that only impacts me. And so, yeah, I don't, you know.
You'll sleep when you're dead, right? Yeah. Right. Pretty and much.
My body is used to that too. I know, yeah. I understand not everybody's in that position or my immune system's good, so I never get sick, but I think part of it is because of my diet too, because of that clean meat that I eat from my kills. So I've been pretty lucky, but I sacrifice sleep and to get everything else done.
Yeah, I would imagine you have to, because you do have a pretty booked solid slate. If you're running even a marathon, that's 23 point something miles. And then if you're even 6.2. Doing a 26.2. I don't run the marathons. I just kind of guess at them.
It does.
You got to train and, you know, and you're running a 100 mile, 24 hour endurance run. They have that in Utah across the top of the mountain peak.
Right.
You run the whole mountaintop. My high school teacher used to do it every year. I remember he would train. The Wasatch Run.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, the whole top of the mountains. Yeah, they'd run all the way across the whole mountains there. And that's just,
dude. I know. There's some tough people out there, dude. I mean, and you know who's the toughest of in those endurance events? And I talk about them, one of the best in the world in my book. But women are so good at endurance events. I really think that their bodies are made for childbirth so they can deal with pain. They're way tougher than men. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about it.
Man's probably going to be faster and maybe stronger just less on average, but
skeletal
firmness, endurance wise and just like mental toughness, women are incredible.
Yeah. And I'll kind of give you a story about my dad. Speaking of women, when he was in the marathon, he said that this one lady, I remember he's like, I was behind her and all I could do is just watch her ponytail. It was his like metronome of like,
yeah.
And she was in front of him, and he's a Green Beret, and she's in front of him, and he's a Green Beret, and she's in front of him. You know what I'm saying? And he's just like, she's keeping pace. He blew himself up that week because he ran 10 miles a day thinking he needed to amp it up for the marathon. But he did too much in the week. And then when the marathon came, he ran it in 4 hours and he was thinking that he could run it probably a lot less. But he realized
your dad was a freaking beast. I got a lot of respect. I mean, he was. Just in these few little stories about his mindset, it's just
There's more. He tried to train me for the biathlon too, bro. I've been all around cross country skiing and hitting the dirt, trying to shoot a rifle at the target. It's like,
hey, you know, you had a tough job being the son of a Green Beret. That's not it doesn't get much tougher.
No. And the fact is that he worked right next door to my junior high. So every day it was just like in his office. It's like, dismantling RPGs and whatever that were all like mock weaponry and all of the training profile. I would read everything. I just sat there.
Listen, look at the stories you got.
I mean, right?
Your dad sold insurance. What stories would you have?
Yeah, really. You know, he did work at Kmart. There was like a time after Vietnam, he got into Kmart.
You got some great stories.
Thanks, bro. Well, listen, I would love to have you back on the show. I've taken a lot of your time and I really appreciate you jumping on. And I want to shout out to Brandon Webb for saying, hey, Rad, go get Cameron Haynes on the show. And I want to shout out to your hat. It says Rogan Haynes 24.
Yeah.
All right, dude, just tell him to legalize weed and I'm in. Yeah, just across the board. Just make it all happen.
Hey, if it's up to him, he would make it happen tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. Just make it happen. Why hasn't anybody made that happen? You all talk. All these guys are talk.
This is the archery pro shop here in town. They made these hats just like as a joke. And so they said, hey, do you care if we, I said, yeah, me and Joe don't want any money. Just do whatever you want. She sold so many of these hats because people are like, yeah, Rogan Haynes 24. And so she actually was so slammed. She's like, I'm done. I don't want any more money. I can't do it anymore. It's too crazy. So
yeah, so many. What does it say to him? Shout out to who?
The Bo Rack in Springfield, Oregon.
Hey, are you working with any charities that you want to give a shout out to or anything that you want to give a shout out to real quick? I'll give you like a little bit of plug-in time right now, bro. Website.
God, charities? I don't know. I usually just try to, like, people always ask what I do with my old bows. I usually just give them away. So, I mean, I try not to, I don't know. If I had to, a charity, who would a charity be?
Well, it could be someone maybe reaching out to you and just like, you know, saying hi, you know. You know, that's charitable right there, bro. You can give your own, you know, what's the word where they stand in the park and they say what they have to say. You can give that advice.
A soapbox?
Yeah, that's it. Let them have it. Give them what they want. If they ask you, can you help me? You know, I'm depressed or in anxiety. I'm sure you've been through depression and anxiety.
No, I've had a lot of people because they know that I've come from, you know, whatever. Everybody has challenges, but they reach out to me a lot. And I want to be able to help people. And I had so many people that guys were actually contemplating or just had suicidal thoughts. And I'm I'm a bow hunter. So I had to actually talk to a doctor and I said, what? I want to help these people. I can't live with myself if I don't. They send a message. They say they're, you know, struggling with this. I said, I want to know what to tell them. So they said, okay, here's what you do. Somebody who's depressed and thinking about having thoughts like that. You say, if you can just help them get through a few hours, because everybody goes down and they're not down forever. They're down. And if you can help them, like, hey, can I check in with you in the morning or can I check in with you later tonight?
Exactly.
That's going to buy some time. They're going to come out of that because nobody stays at the bottom forever. So it's not going to be as bad as it's like when they make that decision, when they think it can't get any worse. And then that's when they make the decision and it's, you can't come out of it. But if you can get them through that little trough right there, it's life, you know,
been there, done that.
It's not as bad as it was. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I've had a lot of people reach out to me and I love it. I mean, I don't love it because I want to be able to help more than I'm able, but I did get some tools to help people because
that's cool.
I've struggled not with suicide, but I've struggled in life wondering how I fit in. So I get it. And so because of that common thread, I think about maybe feeling, you know, like wondering how you fit in this whole world. People do reach out and man, I do all I can. I wish I was more skilled at it, but I appreciate all the people out there. It's not always sunshine and rainbows. I understand people are struggling at times.
Hey, what's your Instagram handle? Is it just Cameron Haynes with the blue check mark, Mr. Verified? Is that what it is, huh?
Put in Cameron Haynes, it'll come up. But it's like, I think it's Cameron R. Haynes is my actual handle. But if you put in Cameron Haynes, it'll come up. But yeah, I mean, I love hearing from people. I'm no different than anybody else out there. I probably get more messages now than some people do. But I love what social media has. I mean, we wouldn't be talking if it wasn't
for social media. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
I'm so thankful for being here for each other and just being able to offer support to people and then also celebrate people like we're able to do here.
Well, what a great note to wrap up on. And I want to say thank you so much for being on Soft Rep Radio. And, you know, to our listener out there, if you have any questions or crazy thoughts, reach out to me at Rad Rockin' on Instagram. And I've talked to people and I'll say hi and and thanks for tuning into Soft Rep Radio. And I'm going to give a sign off saying from London at the 70th Jubilee for the Queen, peace. And thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.